Hello and welcome to the Strevan Easter Trail MP3 Tour Guide. The Easter Trail is something new for Strevan, and you'll find set up round our town lots of different sites that have some relevance in the Easter story. We hope that you'll take time to visit them and use this MP3 guide to take you round the sites and help you understand the relevance of them. We hope you'll learn something new about Easter, what it means, why people talk about it, something about Jesus, this very intriguing and important man who was the Son of God. And as well as that, we hope that you might feel that you can get into the Bible a bit and learn more about him. My name is Murray Herbert, and I'm going to be joined shortly by my good friend Angus Allen, and together we're going to go round this tour looking at the sites. And as well as that, Angus will be reading from certain parts of the Message version of the Bible to bring it alive. Now, our tour begins at the Sheep Gate, which you'll find at the top end of Hills Row, just off Glassford Road in Strevan. The Sheep Gate itself was an obscure entrance through the wall of Jerusalem, but quite an important gate nevertheless. You see, the animals that were brought into the temple were usually brought in through the Sheep Gate at that wall. And this is the gate that Jesus entered Jerusalem by on that Sunday immediately before Easter, the one we call Palm Sunday. He'd been staying at Bethpage, a small town a few miles east of the city, a bit as Glassford is to Strevan. And so our entrance to Jerusalem, or Strevan, with the Sheep Gate's really quite relevant lying on the east side of the town as it does. You might wonder why it's important. Well, Jesus got his friends to bring him a donkey, and he rode into Jerusalem through this gate on it, because it had been prophesied in the old scriptures long ago that the one person who would rescue the Jews and be their king, a king from God, would come riding on a donkey. This might not seem that important to us, but to the people, to the Jews, the people in Jerusalem back then, it really was significant. They knew what it meant. You know, they were really oppressed by the Romans. The Romans were an occupying military power and were very cruel and oppressed them. So they were looking for a king, and when Jesus came riding on this donkey, their hopes were raised, they rejoiced. They waved palm branches and cheered and shouted, Hosanna, which is really a way of saying, praise God and thanks for sending us your Messiah. Try and feel the excitement then as you come into our town through this gate. Think of the people back then crying out and cheering this great word, Hosanna. Here is the king, this is fantastic. You'll find out more about the Sheep Gate at the site itself, about the significance of sheep themselves being sacrifices that were taken into the temple. And in fact, as we reflect on Easter, we realise that Jesus was a sacrifice for us. And it was a really important point that Jesus was making. By coming into the town through this gate and in this way, he was saying, I am the chosen one of God. I am the one who has come. The people didn't really understand what Jesus was saying at that point, not even in the week as things developed, but later, when the story was complete, they would look back and understand what it all really meant.
Well, Murray, thanks for inviting me to join you in this exciting tour today. And we're progressing now. We're up at site number two, the town viewpoint now.
Did you manage to get here, Angus, without getting your feet dirty?
I always get my feet dirty. I wear wellies most of the time.
Yeah, lots of people walk animals along that track up there. And that's actually quite like what it would have been because, you know, the sheep were coming in at that corner of Jerusalem and I'm sure it was really mucky, you know.
Yep, no, bound to have been much more muddy. They wouldn't have the tarmac roads that we have today or any of the sort of formal paths.
No,
it'd be
all
dirt and stones and dust. And I guess it'd be a lot drier. You think it'd be drier there than it would be in Strevan?
That's things, a slight possibility. In fact, I hope when you're doing this tour, it's quite dry, you know?
So, site number two, a view over the town. Now, Murray, perhaps it would be an idea just to spend a few minutes having a look at all the sites that we're going to be visiting on the tour today.
Okay, right. Well, there's nine altogether. We start at the Sheep Gate, where you've just been, and then we're heading to a viewpoint which looks over the city. And really, that gives us a chance to look at Strathaven, and it's really interesting. We've got a picture there that you'll find, and it's got points marked out, like the spires of the churches and the school. And you can might even be able to pick out your own house, Angus, up at the back there.
Fantastic. And it's quite a compact tour as well. Strathaven's quite a compact town, isn't it?
Yeah. So after the view of the city, we're going to come down. We're going to go to the Rankin Church, and that's the temple. Mm-hmm. Then across to Strathaven Evangelical Church, where we've got an upper room organised there. After that, we're going to the Allison Green, which is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the place Jesus prayed just in the hours before he was arrested. And then we go through the more serious, somber part of the whole thing when we're thinking about what he suffered. We go to the High Priest's Courtyard in the West Kirk, which is in Thompson Street. Then across to the castle.
Ah, Strathaven Castle.
Yeah. Well, we thought when we were making this tour up, we thought the castle would be a really interesting place to go because it says something about military things. And well, actually, Jesus was taken to a Roman military fort and beaten there. So the Outreach Community Church are going to help us think about that there. And then after that, the Monument Hill, the top of Strathaven, three crosses on the skyline for this week, Holy Week. And that's a real symbol of what Jesus has done. And perhaps about, you know, half an hour from now, 45 minutes from now in the tour, you'll arrive back at just about where you are at this viewpoint. If you look to your left just now, you should see the crosses on the hill. And then we go
and
down.
And then, the Allison Green.
The tomb. So Angus, you know, just before we head off, do you want to read a bit from this version of the Bible called The Message about that?
Yes, no, I'd love to do that. And we've just been having a look at the passage there a few moments ago in Luke chapter 19 and verse 19. It's just a few verses from The Message Bible. And it says that right at the crest where the Mount of Olives begins its descent, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all of the mighty works they'd witnessed. And they said, "Blessed is he who comes, the King, in God's name. All's well in heaven, glory in the high places." And some of the Pharisees obviously weren't happy with that, and some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, get your disciples under control." But he said, "If they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise." And when the city came into view, he wept over it.
Thank you, Angus. You know, I think at this point in the tour, we really want to stop and think about Jesus coming to the crest of that hill, looking out over Jerusalem. And yes, we can look out over Strathaven and see the various places we know, but Jesus stopped and he was looking and thinking of the people in Jerusalem and what they would suffer, and also his love for them, God's love for them. And he wept for them. And as we come into this week, Holy Week, it's really good to realise that Jesus feels the same compassion for us. You know, Wikipedia says that Strathaven has got 7,875 people living in it. I don't know how many lived in Jerusalem back then, but each and every one of them Jesus wept for. And the same for us just now. So just before you head off, look at the town, think about it, think about every home that's represented, every person, every soul that's there, and the fact that God loves each one of them.
Okay, so to the temple.
Yes, let's head off, Angus.
And that's up Letham Road, isn't it, Rankin Church?
Yeah, if we just make our way across from here, work our way down through the ward, take care crossing the road at the lights, and then we make our way to the Rankin Church in Letham Road.
Now, if there's 7,800 people in Strathaven, is that 7,800 souls or is it 16,000 souls?
Let's just walk, Angus, shall we? Church, the temple, Andy. My souls are well worn, thank you very much. Could you enlighten me a bit more about the temple itself? Why was the temple significant in Jerusalem?
Well, the temple was a real focal point, wasn't it? I find this quite interesting and, I suppose, difficult. It's a bit ironic, you know, what happened in the temple and what Jesus found there. In Luke, we read about the high priests and the scholars and leaders confronting Jesus and demanding from him. You know, they said, show us your credentials. Now, I don't go about with my credentials on me. Someone said, show me your credentials. I wouldn't know what to do. But they were demanding to find out who he was and who gave him authority to do this, that, and the next thing. And the temple, you know, I would have thought is a place of prayer and a place of meditation and a focus. And, I mean, what's your understanding? The temple was a large, in my mind anyway, a large symbolic building with some parts that people could access and some parts that people couldn't access. And, well, the high priest could get into some bits but not others, couldn't he?
So there was a kind of holy area, it was a holy place?
Well, that's my reading of it, yes, that there was a sort of partition of some sort and high priests would get behind that partition, but the rest of the population wouldn't, and it was regarded as a very, very holy place.
And so, you know, on Easter, on Palm Sunday, we've just had Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the donkey and the people cheering. And it tells us in Luke that he then went and looked around the temple.
Yes, and he's pretty distressed with what he found, wasn't it? It wasn't all a good news story at all. And he went into the temple and he found people selling things and changing money and, I guess, doing a bit of cheating and under table sort of trading and stuff.
And what was Jesus' reaction to that?
Well, we read that he wasn't happy, he was distressed, he was angry, he was annoyed, he turned over the tables and he said, you know, this is a house of prayer, or should be a house of prayer. And in the Message Bible it says, you guys have turned this into a religious bazaar. You know, so obviously they weren't using the building in the way it was intended or what it was built for.
And, you know, thinking about that, obviously Jesus had feelings about it. What do you think the high priests and the officials were feeling about Jesus coming in and turning over the tables?
Well, I'm not sure, to be perfectly honest, what the high priest's view was. I mean, they must have surely been tolerating what was going on and being comfortable with what was going on in the temple and maybe hadn't been challenged in the way Jesus challenged them when he went in there and overturned the temples. And they might have been a bit jealous as well, because the people around Jesus seemed to be hanging on to his every word and seeing Jesus as speaking with authority and an authority that the high priest didn't seem to have.
And through this week, we call Holy Week, which is the week leading up to Easter, Jesus went to the temple every day and he taught the people a lot of the parables we read about are taught when he's sitting in the temple in this particular week.
Yep.
And you mentioned something about the irony of the plot. What did you mean by that?
Well, the irony is, you know, the temple, you would have thought, should have been a focus for prayer and for praise and worship, but it was actually a place where the high priests were hatching a plot that eventually led to Jesus' crucifixion. And that's what I find the great irony about it all. And about how the temple is being used in a way that it certainly shouldn't have been.